for me to resist an invitation to go somewhere to teach music. We'll talk about the hymnal tonight. We'll introduce it. I'll help you learn some new songs. And then tomorrow night, we will talk about what the Bible has to say about singing. And then the next night, well, we'll continue talking about what the Bible has to say. But the Friday night will be the night when I address what kind of music should we sing. And you'll find that I don't dwell on the negative. I've always believed it's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. So we will talk about music from a positive standpoint, and obviously that'll reflect on the opposite. So that's what we'll do Friday night. And then Saturday afternoon, we're going to have a session with song leaders. And Saturday evening, we will talk about our heritage in song. Where have these hymns come from? What's the history? What's behind the hymns? So tonight, we're going to introduce the book. Have you sung number one? I'm a little bit at a loss to know what you've done. Apparently not very much if you've only had the books a couple weeks. Have you sung number one? You're going to have to nod your heads or something. You have not. Well, you will recognize the tune as the tune to God Save the King. And some people wonder why that tune was put in this book. Well, my excuse for putting it in the book is it was originally used as a hymn. It was the tune to God Save the King, but there was a nonconformist group that did not want to sing God Save the King, and so they wrote another set of words called Come Thou Almighty King, and they sung it to this tune originally. This was the tune they originally sang that to, and we could sing Come Thou Almighty King to this tune. So I decided, okay, if the church used it at one point, let's put it back in the hymn book. I didn't use it for Come Thou Almighty King because I like the tune we use, so I chose this set of words instead. So let's sing this because I think you all know it. No, come thou, O God of grace, make this a holy place where Christ is heard. Draw every heart to thee, and may our worship be lives offered pure and free to Christ our Lord. Be in each song of praise which here thy people raise with hearts aflame, let every anthem rise like incense to the skies, a joyful sacrifice to thy blessed name. Verse 4, to the great one in 3, glory and praises be in love now given. Glad songs to thee we sing, glad hearts to thee we bring, till we are God and King shall praise in heaven. Now I shall read the first verse to God Save the King, and you will see that it corresponds very closely to Come Thou Almighty King, which was written to sing instead. God save our gracious King, long live our noble King, God save the King. Send him victorious, happy and glorious, long to reign over us, God save the King. Very similar to the first verse of Come Thou Almighty King. Now, another song you might know is 422, at least the music. How many remember years ago we sang a song called My God and I Walk Through the Fields Together? How many remember singing that tune? Okay, this is the same tune. And I would like to do what we always did on that song. On the second verse, I would like the altos to sing and the rest of us to hum. So the altos will actually sing the words and the rest of us will hum on verse 2. And then we'll sing verse 3. Okay? Doso.
Thy brother, where love prevails, the peace of God is there. To worship rightly and to love each other makes life a hymn, each kindly deed a prayer. To worship right lovely and to love each other makes life a hymn, each kindly deed a prayer. Altos, the rest hum. Come on, altos, do, ready. For he whom Jesus loved hath truly spoken the holier word. Let's sing verses 3 and 4. Follow with reverent steps the great example of him whose holy work was doing good. So shall the wide earth seem our Father's temple, each loving life a psalm of gratitude. So shall the wide earth seem our Father's temple, each loving life a psalm of gratitude. Then shall all shackles fall, the stormy clangor of wild war music o'er the earth shall cease. Love shall tread out the baleful fire of anger, and in its ashes plant the tree of peace. Love shall tread out the baleful fire of anger, and in its ashes plant the tree of peace. 141. Now I am going to call for a few favorites later in the evening, so you can get those ready. I'll let you choose the familiar songs you want to sing, and I will choose some that I think you should learn. Now, I will be talking more about Lowell Mason later, but Lowell Mason's music is very simple. Some people don't like it because they think he should have written more interesting harmonies and melodies, but his music is deliberately simple, and I will talk more about him later. This song is an example of a song that is very easy to learn, very easy to sing, and very memorable. It's one of my favorites, one of the favorites of our congregation. I especially like the last verse. Thy children shall not faint nor fear, sustained by this delightful thought. And what is the delightful thought? Since thou their God art everywhere, they cannot be where thou art not. I think we can sing it right off. So, no, Father and friend, thy love.
Some people wonder why another hymn book. For years, I had hoped that the Mennonite Church would embrace some of the better music, but a lot of the people that promote better music are promoting really, really heavy music, and I don't think that's going to work. I wanted a book that had good, serious hymns, that had melodies that were lilting, and I like a lilting melody. I don't like a really, unless it's a song on the death and death of Christ or something that needs a subdued hymn. So you'll find that most of the new melodies, once you learn them in this book, are lilting melodies. They're happy songs. They're the kinds of songs you enjoy singing because of their happier tone. And yet they're hymns. They're serious hymns. They're not light. If you look at the words of this song when we're singing. Again, it's another Lowell Mason song. It's a very simple song. We can sing it right off. But it's a deep song. It's not a light, frothy message. It's just a good heavy, I shouldn't say heavy, a good serious hymn. All right, Master, speak, thy servant heareth. Okay, a couple of Wesley songs, 416. For whatever differences we may have with the Wesleys, and we do have differences, they baptized infants, and they weren't non-resistant. But there's one thing you've got to give to the Wesleys. They practiced a very, very passionate devotion to the person of Christ and holiness. as they understood it. And I think God blessed them for those characteristics. O love divine, what hast thou done is a typical Wesley theme of devotion to Christ. Very delightful tune as well. No soul, O love divine, what hast thou done? The incarnate God hath died for me. The Father's call, eternal Son, bore all my sins upon the tree. The Son of God for me hath died. My Lord, my love is crucified. Is crucified for me and you, to bring us rebels back to God. Believe, believe the record true. Ye all are bought with Jesus' blood. Pardon for all flows from his side. My Lord, my love is crucified. Behold him all, ye that pass by. The bleeding prince of life and peace. Come, sinners, see your Savior die, and say, was ever grief like his? Come, feel with me his blood applied. My Lord, my love is crucified. Then let us sit beneath his cross, and gladly catch the healing stream. All things for him account but loss, and give up all our hearts to him. Of nothing or speak beside. My Lord, my love is crucified.
Number 697. You folks are doing an excellent job of learning these songs. This stresses the second theme. The two things I think about when I think about the Wesleys is just a burning passion for Christ and what he did for us. And the second theme related to it is another passion for holiness, holy living. That was that was the passion of the Wesleys, and you'll see it in this song. I want a principle within, a watchful godly fear, a sensibility of sin, a pain to feel it near. Help me the first approach to feel a pride or wrong desire, to catch the wandering of my will and quench the burning fire before it ever gets started. That was the Wesley's passion. In fact, I left one verse out of this song that I thought was probably too strong for most of our people, where it says, it said something like this: would the least omission, that's in here too, but there's one place where it says, let me grieve my life away for having made one little mistake. And I thought, well, that's, I'm not sure our people won't think that's a little extreme, so I left that verse out. But there's a strong passion here for Christ-likeness and holy living, and that certainly was the Wesley's passion.
We've used it in Bible schools already, and I thought maybe some of you did know it. Do me so, I want a principle within, of watchful godly fear, a sensibility of sin, a pain to feel it near. Help me the first approach to feel a pride or wrong desire, to catch the wandering of my will and quench the kindling fire. from thee that I no more may stray, no more thy goodness grieve. Grant me the filial awe, I pray, the tender conscience give. Quick as the apple of an eye, O God, my conscience make. Awake my soul when sin is nigh, and keep it still awake. Almighty God of truth and love, to me thy power impart. The burden from my soul remove, the hardness from my heart. Oh, may the least omission pain my reawakened soul, and drive me to that grace again which makes the wounded whole.
579. Now, this song was not written by Charles Wesley, but you will see that it was translated by John Wesley. Now, John Wesley wrote very few hymns. He did write a couple. But what happened was the Wesleys, of course, were from the Church of England, and they went to Georgia to be missionaries and failed and had to return back to England. But on the trip back to England, they met the Moravians. And the Moravians were such a godly, happy group of people. They were in a storm at the middle of the sea, and everybody was screaming and upset and fearful. And the Moravians were on the deck singing, and somebody went to them afterward and said, "Weren't you fearful during the storm?" And they said, "Thank God, no, we were not." And the Wesleys wondered, what kind of experience did these people have? So when they got back to England, they attended their meetings, and that's where John Wesley and Charles really found a gospel experience. I don't know. They probably were Christians before that, but they really, really dedicated their lives to the Lord under the Moravians. And then they started to translate their hymns. That's how the Wesleys got started with the hymns, because they liked their wonderful German hymns that the Moravians were singing. And so John Wesley actually started translating. This is one of the songs he translated. Johann Scheffler was actually a Roman Catholic who was a very devout, godly, Christ-like person, even though he was a Roman Catholic. The Anabaptists liked his hymns, and the Wesleys liked his hymns. And so this one was translated and put to a tune written by the same person who wrote the tune for God Save the King, Henry Carey. Very, very nice song. All right. Now, on some of those really high notes, I'm going to let you sopranists sing them. After a while, my voice won't get up that high. Okay, after the next one, I'll take a few of your favorites. Why don't we sing next, 508. It's interesting, when friends knew I was doing this project, they started to send me all kinds of materials. I had a British friend who was in England for a while, and he brought me 30 British hymn books. It was like having 30 Christmases. I just enjoyed those books. And quite a few of those songs found their way into this hymnal. This hymnal has quite a number of very beautiful British songs. Another man gave me a hymnal of Scandinavian songs. And most of you know, how many of you know the song Day by Day? That's a Scandinavian tune. And this is a Scandinavian tune. They have their own flavor, and they're delightful. They wrote some delightful music. "I've Heard Thy Voice, Lord Jesus," is a favorite in our congregation, and a very easy song to sing. And after this, I will take some favorites from you so we can at least sing a few familiar songs. I'll let you choose which familiar songs you want to sing. Okay?
Domi, I have heard thy voice, Lord Jesus, say, ying in thy grace divine. Fear thou not, I have redeemed thee, I have called thee, thou art mine. Lord, I bring thee full allegiance, therefore now to thee hands ring, yea, thou hast redeemed me. I am thine, my Lord, my King. I have nothing worth the taking, thou whom heavenly hosts adore. But my heart is yearning, longing to be thine forevermore. So I come to thee, Lord Jesus, laying in surrender meet all I am and have and hope. For all I love at thy dear feet. Yet the offerings here are humble, which thy children bring to thee, and their best and sweetest praises are but rendered falteringly. But our song shall be triumphant when thy glory we shall see. All for Jesus, all for Jesus now and through eternity.
Now, your favorites. Yes, Jonathan. 609. Okay, we'll sing that one, and then maybe you'll have a couple more. Yes, breathe on me, breath of God. And then I think we'll sing 612. Yeah, that's a fun song to sing if you look at that second score.
Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God. Till my heart is pure, until with thee I will one will to do and to endure. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine. Until with the earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. Breathe on me, breath of God, so shall I never die, but live with thee the eternity. Amen.
Okay, let's try 612.
No, so I know not how that Bethlehem's babe could in the Godhead be. I only know the manger her child has brought God's life to me.
Now, you basses, that's a real run there. I'd like to help you sing it, but I better help the soprano. It's, like I said, it's a lot of fun to sing that. Oh, so I know not how that Calvary's cross a world from sin could free. I only know its matchless love has brought God's love to me. Sopranos, can you carry it now? I'd like to help the bass. No, so ready. I know not how that Joseph's tomb could solve death's mystery. I only know a living Christ for immortality. Let's do that last verse again. Ready? I know not how that Joseph's tomb could solve death's mystery. I only know a living Christ our immortality. Okay, another favorite. Yes, sir. 815? Good. Excuse me? 859? Okay. 859. Now, on the right hand of the side, on the right hand at the top, you always have the people who did the music, and on the left hand side, you have the people who did the words. And if you look on the right-hand side, you will see that this was a traditional American folk song arranged by Lowell Mason. Lowell Mason dedicated himself to giving the church good music when everybody else was writing gospel songs. And I'll talk more about that later. But he was convinced that the church could keep the church from going down the road of the gospel song by writing hymns that were easy to sing, delightful melodies. And you notice we haven't sung one gospel song tonight. Not that I'm opposed to gospel songs. I'll make my comments about it. But Lowell Mason thought we should keep our focus on the great hymns of the church. And that's my thinking, too. I think we can sing some gospel songs. Many of them are good songs. But if we go down that road, you end up, well, I'll say it now. The gospel song was the first time that the church indulged in a little more emphasis on the rhythm than what they were used to, and more repetition. And I'll tell you how that happened in my talks. And Lowell Mason said, if the church goes down this road, church music will be corrupted. Now, it took 100 years for CCM to finally take that down that road. More and more repetition, more and more emphasis on the rhythm. And the gospel song was the first step in that direction. The gospel songs are not bad for the most part. For the most part, they're good songs. But if you follow that trend that they established, you end up with CCM. And Lowell Mason saw that. I don't know if he was a prophet, but he saw that ahead of time. And he said, this is a wrong emphasis. This is a wrong direction to go. And he set out to prove that the church didn't have to sing those kinds of songs. They could sing these kinds of songs, which are serious hymns. And we'll talk more about that later, how that all happened. 20% of the songs in this book are gospel songs because, like I said, they're good songs for the most part. They are not as good as the good old hymns for the most part. And I think if we use them, we should use them with discretion. We should use them understanding what they are and the direction they point and use them with discretion and never let them replace the good old hymns of the church. That was the philosophy behind this book. I encourage every one of you to read the introduction. the introduction explains my philosophy of church music. And I think it's a pity that churches now, many churches, want to sing songs that were written just in the past 30 years of that lighter type of music, and they're neglecting the serious hymns of the church. We're going to have a whole generation that are not going to sing Jesus, Thy Boundless Love to me. In fact, a liberal Mennonite group invited me recently to come and just lead some songs in a meeting they had from memory. And I was amazed that Jesus, Thy Boundless Love to me was already lost. The people could not carry that song by memory. That's a pity, because that is a tremendous song. And we'll talk about that song in particular later on in our meetings. There is a fountain filled with blood. Lowell Mason loved to take, he loved to do two things. He loved to take a folk song and adapt it for church music. And that's what he did here. He also loved to take a melody from classical music and adapt it for church music, like Joy to the World. That comes from various parts of the Messiah he pieced together give us that beautiful hymn. Some other songs that Lowell Mason did, you'll recognize them as songs we love to sing. Rise, Glorious Conquer, Rise, Hark, 10,000 Harps and Voices. I mean, he just wrote some of the most delightful music to try to prove that the church could keep serious music and not go down that other road. And that's what this hymnal had tried to do, is to bring us back to a more serious kind of church music. All right, let's sing There Is a Fountain. What I'd like to have happen on the second verse, we're going to sing verses 1, 2, and, well, let's sing verses 1, 3, and 4. But in verse 3, I would like the sopranos to sing the high tenor and the tenors to sing the melody. I'd like those two parts to switch. And then the altos sing your regular part. The basses sing your regular part. I'm going to do this to show to you that makes a wonderful little variation. Our church does it frequently. The song leader will say, on verse 3, tenors take the lead. And what that means is the tenors are to sing the melody. The sopranos are to sing the high tenor, and the altos and basses are to sing their regular part. It makes a very nice variation. So in verse 3, tenors take the lead, sopranos take the high tenor, and the rest of you sing your regular parts. On verse 3, we're singing 1, 3, and 4. This is indeed a delightful song, and it's serious music.
Do so mi do, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners washed in that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. And sinners washing in that flood lose all their guilty stains. Tenors, the dying thief, the precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God are saved to sin no more, are saved. Till all the ransomed church of God are saved to sin no more. And when this feeble faltering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing thy power to save. I'll sing thy power to save. I'll sing thy power to save. Then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing thy power to save.
Turn to 37 while we're talking about folk music. I want to dispel a mistaken notion that some people have, that the church has always borrowed music from the world and then put Christian words to it. And CCM and your rock groups like to say that. They like to borrow that kind of music and put Christian words to it, and they call that Christian worship songs. What they don't understand is, yes, the church always borrowed music from out there, but there are two kinds of music out there. The one kind is pop music, written for commercial purposes. It's here today and gone tomorrow. It'll be replaced, but tomorrow's pop music, and it's often sort of dance music. It's that kind of music. It's a sensual kind of music. But there's another kind of music out there. It's called folk music. And these are tunes like the one we just sang that have been sung to folk songs for years and years. And in that sense, that music is a little bit like classical music because there's something about it that's more permanent and more serious. And if you read like Martin Luther, who was the person who really brought the kind of music we sing and harmony and all that into the church, Martin Luther had very, very definite standards for the music he borrowed from out there. And made it very clear, you do not borrow dance music, you do not borrow sensual music, you do not borrow pop music, you borrow folk music. And that's the people of our day want us to believe that you can just borrow indiscriminately, and if you put Christian words to it, then it's a worship song. That is not true. It's possible to have music that contradicts the message of the song. Now, there's a song in my book, I'll use it to illustrate. The music contradicts the first line. The rest of it maybe fits okay, and that's this one. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Well, that music sounds like it's a lark to be sinking deep in sin. Sounds like it's lots of fun. Or this one. Down at the cross where my Savior died. Now, wait a minute. I want to sing, when I survey the one. I don't want to sing, down at the cross, where am I? I mean, that doesn't fit the mood of that song at all. And you won't find it in this book. I never liked that song because the music is just clashes with the solemnity of the message of that song. And so that's what people don't understand. They're borrowing music that says dance and be sensual, and then has words that are supposed to be worshipful. And so this song, that I said all that to say this. This song is a folk song. The music, if you notice, the tune is right under the title, In the Forest. It was a folk song. It was never sung in church until I put it in this book. And I'm turning to this to show you how beautifully good folk music complements serious worship texts. The words to this just go beautifully with this. This is a folk song. It was never meant to be sung as a hymn. The music was not. And so I borrowed it. I did that a number of places in the book. I borrowed folk music, and it just makes wonderful hymns. So I wanted to make that distinction. This thing of just borrowing indiscriminately whatever kind of music suits our fancy, and then if we put Christian words to it, then it'll be a Christian song. No. That's not true. It has to be serious music to fit the text, or it's not appropriate to be sung in church. All right, this is a folk song. You'll like it. Our family has loved this song for years. I took it off of a record we had of an Austrian folk choir that we always enjoyed listening to. Do so, we'll sing a little bit slowly because it's new. Do so, dear Shepherd of thy people, hear thy presence now display, as thou hast given a place for prayer. So give us hearts to pray. So give us hearts to pray. Within these walls, let holy peace and love and concord dwell. Here give the troubled conscience ease,
the wounded spirit heal, the wounded spirit heal. May we in faith receive thy word, in faith present our prayers, and in the presence of our Lord, unbosom all our cares, unbosom all our cares. The hearing ear, the seeing eye, the humbled mind bestow, and shine upon us from to make our graces grow, to make our graces grow.
More favorites from you. 363. It's interesting. You've all heard of the social gospel. It was a group of people at the beginning of, probably the end of the 1800s, the beginning of the 19th century, that came up with the idea that to be a Christian was to be concerned about the poor and all the downtrodden. And Christians should be. But it was a lift yourself up by your bootstraps. It did not emphasize the new birth. It did not emphasize the supernatural work of Christ in our lives. It was just they were do-gooders. And they had the idea that that's what it meant to be a Christian, to be a do-gooder. Well, Jesus did say in Matthew 25 that in the end, the judgment's going to be based on what you did for the poor and the downtrodden and the unfortunate. That, in fact, I tell people, you know, if a teacher said, look, I want all my students to make hundreds on the final test, so I'm going to give them a copy of the final test ahead of time, and I'm going to give them the answers so they can all make an A+, you'd be pretty stupid not to study it and learn all the answers, right? Well, Jesus has given us the final test. He's told us what the final test is going to be. Did you feed the hungry? Did you visit the people in prison? Did you clothe the naked? Did you care about the people in society that had needs? That's going to be the final test. Nothing said about being born again in that passage. Not a thing said about that. What it is saying is, if you didn't do those things, you weren't born again. That's what born again people do. They've turned their attention from themselves to others. That's the work of Christ in the heart of the person who's truly been born again. And so the interesting part to me is, while the Mennonites rejected the social gospel, and rightly so, because it denied the supernatural work of God in the life, and just basically they were do-gooders, the Mennonites borrowed a lot of their hymns. This is one of them. Because it emphasizes what Christianity really is. Only we believe that this happens with the new birth. The people that wrote it did not. And I think that's an interesting irony, that those people, even though they denied the doctrines that lead to the true life of Christianity, wrote the kind of things that we can say, yes, that's what Christianity is all about when it's all said and done. So this was written by a liberal. His name was Walter R. Bowie. And he's concerned. If you notice in this book, he's concerned about Christian people who oppress other people and don't care. It's a wonderful text. I'm assuming you know this one, Michael. You don't know it. You do. Okay. I love this song. And again, this is a folk song that I chose. Sheltered Dale is the name of the tune. But it was a folk tune. There was also on that record that we had at home from that Austrian group. And to my knowledge, it has not appeared in hymnals before. Do so, O holy city, scene of John. Wait, I don't have it wrong. Do so, do me. I missed it there. Do so, O holy city, scene of John.
where Christ the Lamb doth reign, wherein whose four square walls shall come no night, nor need, nor pain, and where the tears are wiped from eyes that shall not weep again. Oh, shame on us who rest content while lust and greed for gain in street and shop and tenement wring gold from human pain, and bitter lips in blind despair cry, Christ hath died in vain. Give us, O God, the strength to build the city that has stood. Too long a dream whose laws are love, whose ways are brotherhood. And where the sun that shineth is God's grace for human good. Already in the mind of God that city riseth fair. Lo, how its splendor challenges the souls that greatly dare. Yea, bids us seize the whole of life and build its glory there.
Okay, another one. 741.
You chose my wife's favorite. Did you sing it out of the Christian hymnary? It was in that book. How many know this song? Okay, it's one of the songs in the Christian hymnary that didn't get sung very much. It's a very nice song. Do mi so do,
Jesus, joy of living, Jesus, joy the best. In our sorrows giving comfort, peace, and rest. Thou art holy unction, our salvation's deep desire. Thou art plenteous in death, pillar and tongues of fire, pillar and tongues of fire. Thou thyself hast given into death. From thy side blood riven, stems our life and breath. Thou again art risen from death's dread and cruel. Thou hast opened us, sin and freedom brought and light, and freedom brought and light. Therefore do we worship, Lord, before thy throne. life and filling, consecrating, Lord, to Thee all we have and are. For all eternity, for all eternity.
All right, I want to sing all your favorites. So what are they? 624.
So swiftly we're turning life's daily pages. Swiftly the hours are changing to years. How are we using God's golden moments? Shall we reap glory? Shall we reap tears? Into our hands the gospel is given. Into our hands is given the light. Haste, let us carry God's precious message, guiding the erring back to the right. Millions are groping without the gospel. Quickly they'll reach eternity's night. Shall we sit idly as they rush onward? Haste, let us hold up Christ, the true light. Into our hands the gospel is given. Into our hands is given the light. Haste, let us carry God's precious message, guiding the erring back to the right. Souls that are precious, souls that are dying, while we rejoice, our sins are forgiven. Did he not also die for these lost ones? Then let us point the way unto heaven. Into our hands the gospel is given. Into our hands is given the light. Haste, let us carry God's precious message, guiding the erring back to the right.
919. These are some good old songs from the Christian hymnal. I put some of those in here too.
No, so I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have the Lord my sight. I will hasten, hasten to him, hasten so glad and free, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving the and strife. He is the pure one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I will hasten, hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
Verse 4.
I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten, hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
One more favorite, and then a couple more, and we'll close. 401. Yes, let's sing verses 1, 3, and 4, and let's have the descant on verse 4.
Domi unto the hills, around do I lift up my longing eyes. Oh, whence for me shall thy salvation come? From whence arise? From God the Lord doth come my certain aid. From God the Lord, whom heaven and earth hath made. Jehovah is himself thy keeper true, thy changeless shade. Jehovah thy defense on thy right hand himself hath made. And thee no sun by day shall ever smite, no moon shall harm thee in the silent night. From every evil shall he keep thy soul, from every sin. Jehovah shall preserve thy going out, thy coming in. Above thee watching, he whom we adore shall keep thee henceforth, yea, forevermore.
Now just a word as to how this hymnal came into being, and then we'll sing a one song and closing. Our congregation, when we started in 1986, adopted the old church hymnal of 1927, which we considered a classic. And we committed ourselves as a congregation to learn all the songs in the church hymnal. And we did that. Our congregation mastered the church hymnal. If you came to our church when we had the church hymnal, you'd have given any number, our congregation would have sung it. Now, whether we'll get that done with this book, I'm not sure, but we're working on it. Anyway, after 15 years and we had mastered the hymnal, our congregation said, would you give us a supplement? They asked me to compile a supplement. This is the supplement to the church hymnal. I've collected hymns and hymn books all my life. And so I started to do this supplement, and it didn't have any songs from the hymnal. It didn't have What a Friend We Have in Jesus, Blessed Assurance. This was going to be a supplement. So I didn't put any of those songs in, and after a while I had 670 songs. And I said, well, this book is already bigger than the book that is supposed to be a supplement to, and no one's going to buy this as a supplement because it's a large book. So then I had to put all the songs in from the hymnal because I decided, okay, this will be a church hymnal to replace the church hymnal. So now we have to put all those other songs in, and that soon brought the number up to almost 1,000. So I never intended to do a book this size. But then when I saw it was going to be a hymnal, then I had to think in terms of what kind of hymnal is it going to be. And I decided that the church hymnal had served the church so well that I would like for it to be a hymnal very much like the church hymnal. The church hymnal had 80% hymns and 20% gospel songs. And that's the percentage you'll find here. An appeal to bring us back to the good old solid hymns. We sang mostly solid hymns all evening, and the few gospel songs we sang were fine. That's about the proportion I would do, about as many hymns as we sang to as many gospel songs as we sang. I'd like to keep the focus on the good, serious hymns of the church. You don't find among the gospel songs a line like this. And for some reason, the lighter music attracts to itself a lighter text. It just does not have the depth of a song like this. It says, I thank thee, Lord, that all my life is touched with pain. This woman was sick all her life and died when she was 39. And this is what she says. I thank thee, Lord, that all of life is touched with pain, that shadows fall on brightest hours, that thorns remain. Why? So that earth's bliss may be our guide and not our chain. The people who go after pleasure end up in bondage. And she's saying, I'm glad that there's enough shadows, there are enough thorns, there's enough pain in life to keep us from running too far in the wrong direction. I'm thankful that there's that check that teaches us some of the most serious disciplines of life and the most serious concepts of Christian faith. And so I want us to keep our emphasis on that type of text. And you don't find that type of text with the gospel song. The gospel songs have some wonderful themes, but you don't find that kind of depth. With some of them you do. Great is thy faithfulness has that kind of depth. I almost would not call that a gospel song. When peace like a river, it is well with my soul. That has that kind of depth. But there again, I'd hardly even call that a gospel song, even though it is in that genre of music. So some of the gospel songs are very like hymns, but many of them are not, don't have quite that depth. And I'm not putting down the gospel song. They have their place, but I think we need to use them with discretion and never let them replace the more serious songs. That should be our basic diet. Now I want you to turn to my favorite tune in the church hymnal, which is number 7. This is the only tune you will find 4 times in this book, because I love this tune. The problem with the church hymnal was this tune was in the funeral section. And so when they asked for favorites and I gave my favorite, we had to sing a funeral song. So I decided when this book was published that this would be a praise song and we could sing it every Sunday if we wanted to. So I love this song. I love what it does. And Friday evening, I will explain to you why this is a great hymn. I'll explain what this music does that music is supposed to do. But look at that second score. You have that tremendous buildup in the soprano. You have that tremendous buildup in the tenor. And especially you have that tremendous buildup in the bass. I mean, this song just builds to a fabulous conclusion in the music and the text. Okay, let's all sing the melody on verse 1. This will be our last song. Let's all sing the melody on verse 1. It's not the easiest melody. And then we'll sing parts. And we'll sing all the verses. And if anybody wants to try the descant, this is a beautiful descant. How many of you have the CD that Oasis Chorale did? Okay, this is on the CD. All right.
Do, everybody sing the melody. Stand up and bless the Lord, ye people of his joy. Stand up and bless the Lord your God with heart and soul and voice. Now the parts. Though high above all praise, above all blessing high, who would not fear his holy from his own altar brought to touch our lips, our mind in spire and wing to heaven our thought. God is our strength and song, and his salvation ours. Then be his love in Christ proclaimed with all our ransomed powers. Stand up and bless the Lord, the Lord your God. And bless his glorious name henceforth forevermore.
Now, I want to encourage this congregation. You have a good representation of parts, and you actually have pretty good singing potential. And if you stick with it, someday you will sing these songs with just as much zest as you sang those gospel songs that we sang tonight. But you're going to have to apply yourselves and stick with it till you learn the music. Number eight. I said that would be the last song, but I'm just curious. Have you sung number eight? Does anybody know number eight? This is a delightful tune that I borrowed from the Seventh-day Adventists. This came from their book. The Seventh-day Adventists have some delightful music. I put other words to it. Actually, that Barbara J. Hurst was a former student of mine at Paradise Mennonite School in Hagerstown. And I sent this tune to her and said, Barbara, would you give me a good text? Because I knew she was a good poet. This is a Mennonite hymn. It's written by a Mennonite young lady. But I think even though I promised you that last song would be last, why don't we try this one? Okay? Will you indulge me that far? I think you folks have discovered I love to sing. I can't wait to get to heaven. My voice is worn out, and there I can sing and never get tired. Okay? By the way, singing is the only thing we do here that we're going to do there. Someday all the preaching is going to be done, and all the praying is going to be done, and we're just going to go and worship in song. And I can't wait. My son is already there, and I kind of think he's there saying, wait till Dad hears this. Okay.
Do, together we seek thee. We turn to thy face, great God of salvation, redemption and grace. For this whole congregation hath knowledge of sin. We plead thee, we need thee for brightness within. Lord, how can we seek thee unless thou dost draw? For we have rejected and broken thy law, but in goodness thou leadest all men to repent through faith in the Savior, the Son thou hast sent. Verse 4. Together we seek thee, we turn to thy face, great God of salvation, Great giver of grace, thou hast sought us and saved us and shown us the right. We faithfully follow as children of light.
God bless you. You do a great job.